This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 985. Even Americans use British English on IELTS.
Welcome to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English, downloaded more than 18 million times with former IELTS examiner Jessica Beck and Aubrey Carter, the IELTS whiz. If you are stuck with a low score, our insider method will help you get the score you need to unlock your dreams. Get your estimated band score now with our two-minute quiz at allearsenglish.com/myscore.
Can you use both British and American slang on IELTS speaking? Today we answer this extremely common question and give you fun slang phrases that both British and American speakers use every day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Aubrey, what's up?
Hi. Hey, I heard your birthday is coming up.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm going to be the big, I'm just going to say it, 41. I'm 41. That's crazy.
That's so young. Just a spry young thing.
Oh my God, you're not that much older. And I feel like you look younger than I do.
Whatever. That's because you have the cool hip hair that, and you can see the gray in it. That's the only reason. I cover my gray.
Oh, but guys, we are going to answer a question that many students have. And honestly, we have answered this question before about mixing British and American English. But guys, we are actually going to prove to you today that native speakers mix this up as well and explain exactly why this is completely fine on IELTS. So we did get this question from a student. And as I said, we know that a lot of you guys have this question as well because we see it a lot. So Aubrey, can you read that question, please?
Yes, this is from our student Bharat Vishwanatham. I apologize if that's not exactly how to pronounce your name. And it said, I grew up in India where we use British English for speaking and writing, but I live in Canada where I use North American English. I kind of observed myself that I mix both formats in my speaking as well as writing. Do you think this will confuse the instructor in the IELTS test and lead to a lower score? Very good question.
Excellent.
And you're
question.
Right. I do get this one a lot from Three Keys students in the Facebook group. I have seen this question a lot. Like, do I have to stick with one or the other?
Yeah.
How do I know the examiner is going to understand? It is a good question.
So if we think about what the differences actually are, right, it will mostly come down to vocab, right? I mean, there are some slight grammatical structure differences. Like, for example, if an American is asking like a clarity question, and an American would probably say like, you haven't done that, right? But a more British English structure would be like, haven't you done that? And that it's such a slight difference, but it does happen. And I honestly mix up both of those structures. I use both interchangeably.
Yeah, me too. Oh yeah.
Do you do that too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely use both of those interchangeably. I think it comes from watching a lot of like British TV shows and British movies that they both sound so right to me.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, recently we recorded a conversations and coffee conversation where we were talking about being like a global citizen. It was this really interesting conversation about patriotism. And yeah, like, I feel like if we're more of a global citizen and you watch, you know, international shows and movies and you've probably traveled a lot, if not also lived abroad, then you're gonna mix it up because you kind of find words that you really like. Like, for example, I love saying no worries, which I think more Americans do say now, but it definitely wouldn't be like essentially American English. Like, no worries, I think, is more Australian than anything else.
Yeah, but I say that too, and I agree. We're adopting it. It sort of becomes part of our vernacular as more and more people say it. It becomes more common. Yeah. So they just really get intertwined, the different slang and jargon from different countries.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Guys, so many excellent vocabulary words for language. Jargon, vernacular, right? Guys, these are fantastic synonyms for language. And jargon is more specific. Jargon is more like for vocabulary, not just language as a whole. So, oh my gosh, great vocabulary. So guys, let me talk about just quickly why it does not matter for your score at all if you choose something that a British person might say or choose another thing that an American person might say. And then we'll give you guys some more examples of how we as native English Americans use British all the time. So guys, there is nothing on the scoring rubric for speaking or writing that says you stick to one vernacular. You stick to only British English or only American English, okay? There is nothing on the scoring system about that. Now, the part of the question from the student I found interesting is like, do you think this will confuse the instructor on the IELTS test? No. IELTS examiners, guys, the requirements are so high. We have to have taught English for, I think, it's at least 5 years, it may be more now. You have to have not just a bachelor's, but I believe also a master's at this point. We did when I did it, you had to have a master's as well. So the requirements are so high, guys. IELTS examiners are accustomed to all the different kinds of Englishes, right? Like they're going to understand you no matter what you're saying, okay?
Right.
Just and put that out of the way.
I think it's important to remember, too, that these examiners are facing students that have learned English all over the world.
Totally.
So, you know, some of their students have had British instructors or American instructors, Australian instructors. So they've heard it all. They've heard every accent. They've heard the different lingo from all these different countries. So they're familiar with all of it.
Oh my God, lingo, okay?
Another one.
Great vocabulary word for vocabulary. Lingo would be more like slang, I would say, right? Like a specific type of vocabulary. Okay, so at the end of the day, guys, no, this will not affect your score at all. In fact, I think pulling in slang from a variety of countries actually would help your score because it shows that you can communicate more widely. It shows that range. And guys, that is specifically on the vocab rubric the examiner uses, right? You have to show a range. And so I believe this is part of that range. It could be interpreted like that. So let's get into it. Aubrey, as an American, right? We're going to prove this to our students today. What British English do you use?
Yeah, so we were chatting about this, and there are quite a few that I use all the time. I think a really good example is rubbish. So British speakers will use rubbish to mean garbage. In America, we say garbage. But we've adopted the word rubbish, and sometimes we'll use it to mean garbage, and we'll also use it to mean nonsense, right? If someone says something that I don't think is true, I'd say, that's a bunch of rubbish.
What I like about this is the second definition, I think, I'm more likely to use at least. I'll just say garbage in American English. But if I don't believe something someone is saying, I would say rubbish because it's more polite than like a bad word that I could say otherwise. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So this is a good choice. And it's more fun, right? And it's kind of jokey.
Sure.
Like if someone says something surprising, I would be like, oh, rubbish. And it's, you know, it's not mean, but you're still like, I don't believe you. So that's a great slang term for speaking part one or speaking part two. Perhaps an informal general training letter, but it is informal, guys, so I wouldn't use it in speaking part three or writing task two. Okay, now here's another adjective, knackered. This means really tired, and it's pretty common in British English. Now, I don't say this in American English, but I do hear other Americans saying it. Now, here's the funny thing, okay? This is one of those words I feel like an American would try to use. Like it wouldn't be natural. And so if they were trying to use it, I would be like, okay, you're like just trying to prove that you, you know, have been
well traveled
or something.
Yes.
But if I hear a non-native speaker If I hear someone from India, someone from Taiwan, someone from Japan saying this, I'm not going to judge them. I'm going to be like, oh, that means tired. Like, that's great. You're using slang.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. If an American uses some of these words, it feels a little forced. Like, maybe they're trying too hard. But anyone else who has a fun accent or is a second language learner, I find it endearing. If, you know, are there any words that, you know, aren't exactly American or maybe a slang from a different country. I love that. I think it's fun. I either want to ask them, you know, what it means, or I know, like I've heard it in TV, I've heard it in the movies. I know what it means and I find it endearing.
Yes, exactly. So guys, that's another reason why it will not impact your score at all. The examiner will not judge you for, like, you know, adhering to the way one country speaks. Like, why would you? You're not from that country. You are not American, guys. You are not British. So why would you only talk like one of those things? You know, like, it's a ridiculous expectation. And nobody will expect you to do so. And also, keep in mind, the acronym of the exam stands for the International English Language Testing System, right? Not the British English Testing System. The International English Language Testing System. So remember, guys, that's right there in the title. Now, a funny thing regarding pronunciation, because, of course, that is the main way that Americans and British might speak differently. There are a few words that are pronounced totally differently, like aluminum. I say aluminum, but a British person would say aluminium, which I love. And sometimes I'll just say because it's fun. Or laboratory. I say laboratory. And a British person, like in a Frankenstein movie, this is what it makes me think of, would say laboratory, which I also find very fun.
Yes, I know the pronunciation differences are really fun. So you guys can choose either way, whatever you're most comfortable with. But it's a really good point that the examiner is not going to dock you either way. You're allowed to use both and there's no effect to your score at all.
Totally. Okay, guys, we have three more vocabulary words to prove to you that even native speakers mix up all the Englishes. It feels wrong saying that as a plural, but anyway. So the verb fancy. Now, we know the adjective fancy, right? That's, everyone says that, like, you know, high class, dressed up. But to use it as a verb is British slang. To fancy means to like. It can be romantically, like, oh, I'm so lucky I still fancy my husband after 20 years or something. Yes. Or it could be like, I met a boy last night and I really fancy him. But it doesn't have to be romantic. It could be anything, right?
I think of it for food, like, I fancy some cookies right now.
just be like, I would like to have this now. So in speaking part one, I think this is great because we always talk about, you know, what we like and don't like. There's always questions like that. So instead of like, say fancy. It's very fun. What's another Britishism that we use?
So we'll say cheeky to describe someone, and this is very, very common in England, to describe someone as a little bit silly, a little bit, maybe inappropriate, right? If they're, there's a comedian named Mike Myers that used this a lot on Saturday Night Live and a couple of different movies, Austin Powers. So it became, it would sort of be quoting him when we'd say it. He would say cheeky monkey. It's like, oh, you cheeky monkey.
Guys, if you look up any like greatest Saturday Night Live hits from the 90s, then you would see that sketch of Mike Myers in a bathtub. It's very funny. But cheeky, great adjective, right? Like a little bit silly, a little bit irreverent, perhaps. And like you said, inappropriate jokes, right, would be cheeky. So describing a person, yourself, a friend, great adjective in part one or part two. Now, the last way I want to prove to you guys that our English is just globalized now. When I first started traveling a long time ago, 20 years ago, I was around a lot of British people and Australian people. And I remember they would make fun of me as an American because I say awesome all the time. Now, awesome is actually like quite an extreme adjective. But Americans use it all the time, just meaning cool, right? Right. And a British person would make fun of me being like, that's not what it means. Like, it's more than cool. But guys, I hear British people and Aussies now saying awesome Okay.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
Not only are we as Americans adopting their vernacular, they are also adopting ours. So guys, I hope we prove to you that even native speakers mix this stuff up.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because the actual word awesome means like awe-inspiring, something that is really impressive and incredible, and Americans never use it that way. So that's interesting to hear that, you know, elsewhere in the world, people are starting to use it more just to mean cool.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been watching an Australian sketch show on Netflix called Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun, I believe it's called.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It's pretty amazing. I miss sketch comedy. And it's a new show, three Australian dudes. But yeah, like, I hear them using all of this American slang now, guys. So I'm telling you, even native speakers do it. So we know that's fine. But at the end of the day, guys, it's not part of your score. And we would go so far as to recommend that you choose slang that you like from any country that speaks English, guys. As long as you like it and know how to use it, go for it, guys. It will help your score. It shows that range that examiners need to hear for a 7 or higher in vocab. And guys, remember, you can get your free IELTS band score right now. Find out what score you would get if you took the exam today. Find out for free in like 5 minutes. It's a quick quiz, and get free resources that we made for you. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore.
Yes, if you guys haven't done that yet, go today, right after this episode ends. You'll get your estimated band score and free resources. So check it out, allearsenglish.com/myscore.
Awesome. Aubrey, I hope you have a fancy day, but that sounds funny. Let's see. Let's end by saying what we fancy right now. I fancy another cup of coffee about now.
Oh, yeah. I fancy a shower. Working out before we recorded. And
oh, so funny. All right, Aubrey, I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Okay, see ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to IELTS Energy. Hit subscribe now and don't forget to find your estimated band score at allearsenglish.com/myscore.